Do you hear the crickets? The frogs? Oh, those are frogs. Probably all kinds of things you could hear. Well, we want to hear from the Spirit of God. So let's pray. Father, we open our ears, spiritually speaking, Lord, to hear from you. We open our hearts. You've gathered us here for a specific reason. There is encouragement that you have for us. There's a word that you have for us. There's a direction that you're wanting to point us in. And so we come before you and say, "Speak, Lord. We will obey. We are your servants." Father, I ask that we would enjoy coming into your presence more. That we would understand more about what that involves and how blessed we are to have open access to you. Lord, we commit this time of Bible study into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The Bible teaches that there's a great separation between God and man. Man is separated from God. Maybe you've seen that diagram before as a Christian where you have two ledges, cliff with two ledges. And there's a separation between the ledges. And over here at the top of this ledge, you have God and his heavenly kingdom. Over here on this ledge, you have man. And there's separation between the two. And that's because God is perfect. God is holy. God is righteous. There is no sin in God. 1 John chapter 1 verse 5 says, "God is light and in him is no darkness at all." Man, on the other hand, is dark, sinful, wicked, depraved. And so there's this separation between a holy God and sinful humanity, and indeed there must be. No sin can be allowed in the presence of God. In the Old Testament, you see that separation between God and man very clearly. There's lots of examples. I think of when God gave the nation of Israel the law on Mount Sinai. You remember that story in the book of Exodus? It says that the very presence of God descended upon that mountain in a dark cloud. Thunder, lightning, fire. And the nation of Israel was encamped at the foot of that mountain, but only one man was allowed to go up on the mountain, and that was Moses. Nobody else could go on the mountain. In fact, they put boundary lines around the mountain, and if anybody other than Moses crossed a boundary line to go onto that mountain, they were killed. And that's that picture of separation. God is holy. Man is sinful. Keep your distance. Don't get too close. And then we've been talking a whole lot about the tabernacle worship system in our study of the book of Hebrews. You remember the tabernacle system was the Old Testament sanctuary. It's where they met and worshiped the Lord. A courtyard with a tent in the middle of it. And the tent was divided into two compartments, one place called the holy place and the innermost compartment called the Holy of Holies. All the Israelites could come into the courtyard. Only the priest could go into the tent, the first part. And only one priest could go into the Holy of Holies one day every year. That was the high priest. Only one man, one day every year in the Old Testament economy, could go into the Holy of Holies, into the very presence of God. And there was this veil that hung between the Holy of Holies and the holy place. You could not go beyond the veil. And that veil was like this big stop sign. It said, "Stop! Keep your distance. Don't come too close. God is holy. Man is sinful. Well, in the New Testament, we get the wonderful news that that distance between us and God can be removed. We learn that it is now possible for us to get on God's ledge. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has opened up heaven for sinful humanity. He's made it possible for sinful human beings to enter into the very presence of God. Now there's an open invitation in heaven because of what Jesus has done. It's no longer keep your distance, don't get too close. The invitation now is come on in, enjoy. Get as close as you want. It's beautiful, good news. And our text this morning in Hebrews chapter 10 speaks of that wonderful open access that we have to the very presence of God. Look what it says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. It says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart. Now understand, this passage is speaking about entering heaven. The very presence of God. The throne room of God. In verse 19 it says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest. That is not speaking to the Holy of Holies in the Old Testament tabernacle. It's speaking of the heavenly Holy of Holies. The actual dwelling place of God. Jesus has made it possible for us to access the immediate presence of God in his throne room. That's what's being said here. And in this passage, it just shows how open heaven has become to us because of what Jesus has done. There's four beautiful little pictures in this passage. In verse 19 again, it says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest. We have been given boldness in entering the presence of God. The idea is you and I can go into the presence of God with confidence, free from fear. No worries. We can go straight in. Now, it wasn't like that in the Old Testament. Nobody could go in and see the presence of God. The high priest who went on that one day every year, did he go in with a lot of confidence? You know how he went in? Scared to death. If he made one mistake when he went beyond the veil into the Holy of Holies, he could be struck dead. In fact, historians said they used to tie ropes around his ankles in case he dropped dead. Then they could pull him out. How many of you would be confident to go in? Sign me up. But it is not like that because of what Jesus has done. Now we can go straight in, not to the earthly Holy of Holies, the heavenly Holy of Holies, with confidence, free from fear. It's an amazing thing. The Greek word for boldness is parrhesia. And I mention that because it has a technical meaning. It literally means all speaking. We have an all speaking boldness. It's a confidence that says we are free to speak our mind. In other words, we can say whatever we want. We have a freedom of speech. We enjoy freedom of speech in this country, don't we? What a wonderful thing. In some countries, you don't have a freedom of speech. And if you're in a country like that and you stand before a government authority, are you going to speak your mind? Probably not. You're probably not going to say what's on your heart. You're going to say what allows you to live. Well, the idea here is Jesus has opened heaven so wide for us that we can go right into the throne room of God, and God himself says to us, permission to speak freely. Speak whatever's on your heart. like a little kid would speak to daddy. And that's what the New Testament says about us. As Christians, we're the children of God. Paul tells us to call God Abba, Daddy. This is the access we have. I love the other picture I see here. Verse 19, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us. That word consecrated means to dedicate, to inaugurate, to initiate. It's a word that speaks of dedicating a building when it's open. Lord willing, we'll have a building dedication ceremony someday. It's used in the Old Testament when King Solomon completed the temple. This huge building project is finished. The temple is up and they had a dedication ceremony. They inaugurated it. That's the word that's used. We use it in our society, you know, when a road opens or a public building opens. There's this dedication. It's also speaking of like when a business opens, they have a grand opening. And when a business has a grand opening, what are they trying to do? Get everyone in their business. Come on in, get your goodies, get your discounts, join in some fun and activities, have some food. We want everybody in our business. It's wide open. Look at that image. Jesus, so to speak, has put a grand opening sign over the entrance into heaven. It is open. Come on in and get your blessings. Get your audience with the King. Come right on in. We're open. I love what it says in verse 21. It says, we have a high priest over the house of God. Remember, a priest is a bridge builder. And Jesus Christ is our high priest. And he has built a bridge between holy God and sinful man. You go back to that image again of the two cliffs. God over here, man over here. Jesus built a bridge. And you can walk right on across and there's no border security. No traffic. No taxes to pay. The idea is it's paved. Wide open. Come on in. I love it. My favorite picture, though, concerns the veil. Look what it says again in verse 19 and 20. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil. That is his flesh. That is alluding to the veil that I told you earlier about, the veil, the curtain that hung between the Holy of Holies and the holy place. That veil that separated everybody from the presence of God, that it was the stop sign of the Old Testament. You can only go this far. There's a wonderful thing that happened when Jesus died on the cross. When Jesus was dying on the cross 2,000 years ago, there was a temple that was up and there was a Holy of Holies and there was a holy place. And there was a veil that hung between the Holy of Holies and the holy place. Josephus, who was a historian, wrote about that veil. And he tells us that that veil was 30 feet wide by 60 feet high. 4 inches thick, finely twisted linen, blue, purple, scarlet material. It was this massive curtain, this massive piece of fabric, this massive veil. Well, leave your finger here and turn with me left to Matthew chapter 27. I want to show you what happened to that veil. Matthew chapter 27. This is Matthew's account of Jesus dying on the cross. In verse 45, it says, "Now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani,' that is, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?' Some of those who stood there, when they heard that, said, 'This man is calling for Elijah.' Immediately one of them ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed and offered it to him to drink. The rest said, 'Let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come to save him.'" Now watch this. Jesus cried out with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked and the rocks were split. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus said, "It's finished. Into your hands I commit my spirit." He died. That 30-foot wide by 60-foot high, 4-inch thick veil ripped right down the middle. And it's almost as if God himself, with his two hands, ripped it. Can you imagine being a priest in the temple that day? Going about your business and rip. Oh, don't let that picture leave your mind. What's that saying? Heaven's open. The old covenant, the Old Testament stuff, the animal sacrifices, the priest, rip. The sin that's a barrier to coming to the Savior, all that wall of separation, rip. Wide open. This is the picture of heaven for you and I right now, my brother and sister in Christ. Grand opening sign. Go right in with freedom of speech like talking to Dad. Go right across a newly paved bridge. And that curtain has been ripped. How do we get access to heaven? What did Jesus do? How did he open heaven? We'll go back to Hebrews. And look what it says for us. How do we access the very presence of God? Again in verse 19 it says, "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus." How do we get into the very presence of God? By the blood of Jesus. What does that mean? You know, I told you before how God is holy and man is sinful. But I want you to understand that God loves sinful humanity. God loves his creation. And he knows that there is a sin problem with humanity. And so out of his great love, he sent his only begotten son, Jesus. Jesus was sent to planet Earth specifically to be a sin offering, to be the sacrifice for the sins of the world. And so Jesus, the Son of God, came, took upon himself a human body, became just like you and I, lived a perfect, sinless life. Went to the cross and he shed his blood and his body was broken. And the Bible teaches that all the sins of the world were placed on him. He endured the judgment of God for our sins. The wrath of God for our sins. He paid the penalty, which was death, for our sins. And so the wonderful news of the New Testament is, if we come to God and we admit that we're sinners, that we need him, and if we ask Jesus to be our Savior, to come into our heart, to forgive us of all our sins, and we do that by faith, if we do that, the precious blood of Jesus Christ cleanses all your sin. It washes all of your sin away. And see, that takes care of the sin problem. Now you're holy. in the eyes of Jesus Christ, in the eyes of the Father. And because of that, you can now go into the presence of a holy God. But you have to have the blood of Jesus applied to your life. The author puts it another way. I love this way too. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way. We've been given access to the very presence of God by a new and living way. And the new and living way is Jesus Christ himself. Jesus in John chapter 14 said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody gets to the Father except by me. You get into the very presence of God by the blood of Jesus, but you also get into the very presence of God by Jesus himself. You have to have Jesus in you. You have to be identified with Christ. Now, there's a wonderful detail here that you don't see in the English language, but I want you to see it because it's there in the Greek. Many of you, do you know that the Bible was written in Greek? The New Testament? And the Old Testament was written in Hebrew. A lot of times what you need to do is go to the original Greek language of the New Testament and you'll learn some wonderful insights about those Greek words. And I want you to look at that word new in verse 20. It says we have access to heaven by a new and living way which he consecrated for us. That word new is the Greek word prophetes. And the only reason I mention this is because this is the only time this word shows up in the entire Bible. Prophetes. Or prospheno would be the verb. Now listen to the meaning. It's very important and it's very significant. Prospheno. Pros means near in time. Recent, fresh. Pheno, surprisingly, means to kill. So it's a word that literally means flesh just killed. Something freshly slain. Something newly killed. They use that word to speak of an animal or a human being that had just died. Prosphetos. Newly killed. If you have the unfortunate experience of leaving church today and you're out driving and a dog runs out into the middle of the road and you clip that dog and you stop the car and you go out to see if the dog's okay and you find that that dog is killed, you would say, prosphetos, freshly killed, flesh just killed. This is amazing significance when it comes to Jesus. Jesus, our way to heaven, has been freshly slain. Newly slain. The idea here is that although Jesus Christ was crucified 2,000 years ago on the cross, his sacrifice made 2,000 years ago is absolutely still fresh today. Just as if he's been freshly slain. And it speaks of the enduring quality of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. His death on the cross took away sins back then. His death on the cross takes away sins today. And his death on the cross will take sins away 100 years from now should the Lord tarry. It's fresh. But it also says the new and living way. Speaking of Jesus and his resurrection. He died on the cross 2,000 years ago, and that sacrifice is effective and enduring today. But Jesus ain't dead. He rose again that third day, and he lives to be the living way to heaven. So this is how you get into heaven, by the blood of Jesus Christ, by having Jesus in your life. And there's no other way. Oh, the New Testament says, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. If you have Jesus Christ in your life, if you've invited Him to be your Savior, you get that access into heaven. If you've yet to receive Christ, then the Bible says you're still in your sins. You're over here on the ledge, separated from God by your sin. You need to come to Christ this morning. Invite Him to be your Savior. Let Him take away your sins. You go right into the very presence of God. What wonderful access we have been given. Oh, I'm so thankful for what Jesus has done, aren't you? What should we do about it? Well, the passage ends with the writer saying three times, let us do this, let us do that. Let's see what he says. Verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. That's a pretty simple concept. Heaven is open. Go in. There's access. Enter in. He's made it wide open. Go in. Jesus has said, hey, I've done all this work so that you can draw near, so let us draw near. Let's go in. Now you're saying, Terry, do you mean that I can physically, right now, go into the very throne room of God in heaven? You mean right now, physically, I can go to heaven? No, you can't right now. Actually, you could, but you'd have to die first. Or the Lord would have to come back for you. By the way, that is an absolute assurance, though, if you have Jesus Christ in your life, one day you will physically be in the very presence of God in His throne room. But let's speak to the Christians that are alive today on planet Earth, the living ones. It is not possible for us to physically go into heaven right now, but oh, don't miss this. And this is the point. This is where it's really at. You can go into the very presence of God spiritually right now. Wherever you are. Paul the Apostle says that we as Christians have been raised up and we are seated together with Christ in the heavenly places. We're not there physically, but spiritually we are there in Christ Jesus. And you and I have a direct connection to the very throne room of God in heaven. Listen to this very carefully. Let this really sink in. When you pray as a born-again Christian, you are connecting with the very throne room of God in heaven. You are, in a sense, spiritually transporting yourself to the heavenly holy of holies. Think about that the next time you pray. Think, you are reaching God's throne. Every time you pray. Wherever you pray. Even if you pray before your meal. You know how sometimes we throw in a quick prayer before we eat? Thank you for the food. Amen. Even that little prayer, understand, we should do it reverently because every time we pray, we are in the throne room of God. Listen to this. When we as Christians worship, we are connecting into the very throne room of God. In other words, there's a direct line into the throne room of God. We just spent some time worshiping as a congregation. Understand this. When you worship as a born-again Christian, you're worshiping with the angels in heaven. When we read our Bibles every morning and we want to hear from the Lord as a born-again Christian, as you're reading His Word prayerfully, expectantly, you're in the throne room of God. You're in His very presence. Think of that. In fact, as Christians, we live in the presence of God. We live in direct access to God. It's absolutely wide open. One author said, as the day begins, as the day ends, and ever and again in the midst of its activities, we should turn aside, if only for a moment, and enter God's presence. Every man carries with him his own secret shrine, but so many forget to enter in. It's so easy for us to enter in, anywhere you are. And I want you to be reminded, my brother and sister in Christ, of how powerful prayer is. Worship. Your relationship with God. Full-blown, wide-open access to God. It says, let us draw near, verse 22, with a true heart. Genuine heart. Be yourself. Don't pretend anything. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance. Have great assurance of faith when you're coming to God in prayer. You have access. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, we have been made fit by the blood of Jesus Christ. Our hearts have been sprinkled. We can be there. So we go with full assurance. Look at the other let us. Verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. Jesus is open heaven. We've come to know Jesus. We've come to understand what his sacrifice on the cross means. Heaven is open. So the idea is, don't ever let go of that now. Hold firmly to that hope. Don't waver. Waver is a word in the Greek that literally means to lean backwards. The idea is, you're leaning forwards towards Jesus, but some were tempted to lean backwards. Wavering is leaning this way, leaning this way. Well, I like Jesus today. Maybe tomorrow, though, I'll like someone else. Or I'll be in church for a while and then I'll do something. It's that, you know, seesaw, seesaw. That leaning. Now that you have found Jesus Christ and he is your Savior, there is no need to go anywhere else. And there is no need to go back, and you shouldn't be tempted to go back to any other philosophy or religion. Jesus is all there is. Amen? He's the hope. You hold on to him. One more let us, and I find this kind of interesting. It's strange to me that it's in this context, but look what it says in verse 24. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. That's odd to me. Heaven is totally open to us. We have access to heaven. So, considering that and knowing that we have this wonderful access to heaven, the writer says, consider those around you on earth. And what is the connection there? Why, you know, we have access to heaven, and what does that have to do with our earthly surroundings and the people around us? Well, I believe the writer of Hebrews is once again putting New Testament meaning into an Old Testament practice. When the high priest of Israel on the Day of Atonement went beyond the veil, you know, that one day every year that he could do so, he'd go in, and he'd go in a few times on that day, and when he finally came out once for all, it was the climax. And he would stand before all the people that had gathered, the nation, and he would raise his hand. And as the one who's just been into the very presence of God, he would bless the people. Pray for the people. Strengthen the people. We, as Christians, have access to the very throne room of God. And let me tell you, that makes you fit to bless other people. To strengthen other people. To pray for other people. We have access to heaven. We go into the very throne room of God. And you know what we want to do as Christians? We come out of the presence of God and we want to spread heaven all around, ministering to all the people in our lives. You know, in the New Testament, it basically says that Christians become priests. Did you know that you're a priest? You're a priest if you're a Christian. And you don't even have to wear the outfit. It says in 1 Peter chapter 2, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. As Christians, we have this privilege, this joy, this blessing to go into the very immediate presence of God. And you come out a new man, a new woman, fit to help other people, to bless other people, to spread heaven around. And so it says in verse 24, let us consider one another. The idea is let us pay careful attention to one another. Let us give very diligent thought to one another. We, as Christians, are to be sensitive to people. We are to be so sensitive to our brothers and sisters in Christ at church. And you are to be so sensitive to the people that God has placed in your life at work or in your life. Because you're going into the presence of God and you're coming back out and you want to spread heaven in their lives. You want to minister to other people. Let us consider one another in order, I love this, to stir up love and good works. Usually we think of people running around stirring up trouble. You know those people, they go out and everywhere they go, there's a mess. They're always stirring up the pots. Christians, we go out and we stir up love. Good works. So here we are plotting, thinking, praying. How can we go stir up some love today? How can we go stir up some good works? What a joy it is to see Christians like that. I can't tell you, there's so many times as a pastor that a Christian comes up to me and says, oh, I know something over here. Let's go do this good work. Or there's a family in need over here. Let's go help. Or let's stir up some outreach in this community. Let's go help the homeless. Let's go help. Oh, that's... those are the priests of God at work today. Stirring up love and good works. Verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. As Christians who have access to heaven, we are to assemble together regularly. We're not to forsake one another. We're not to let one another down. Why? So we can minister to one another. So we can help one another. It says some in that day were in a habit of not assembling. And you know, every now and then you'll run across a Christian who says, I don't need church. Don't need church. I'm a Christian by myself. I'm a Lone Ranger Christian. I'm just going to do it on my own. Understand this. This is very key about church. Church is not about what you get. Though you do get a lot. Church is primarily about what you give. And see, if you're a Christian, God
wants to use you in the lives of people. And as a blessing to the congregation and as a blessing to the community. So yeah, we don't forsake assembling together so that we can all be used together mightily in our lives and spreading the gospel message, ministering to one another. And let me tell you, isn't it awesome when you get to church and you see so many other people who know Jesus? Isn't that encouraging? That's one of my favorite things about church. I get to see you. I get to see the other people in the community of El Paso that love Jesus Christ. And that are seeking to follow Him with all their lives. What a blessing this is for me this morning that we've all shown up on a day like this. Isn't this great? Isn't this encouraging? There's a lot of people here who love Jesus, who have been touched by Jesus Christ, and who feel it's important to gather with the people of God in worship and prayer. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another. And there it is, encouraging one another. This is what we do. We lift one another up. So you see the picture? You have access to God. Jesus has given you access. Draw near. Hold on. And then go bless. Minister to others. My brother and sister in Christ, my prayer this morning was that that truth about entering into the very presence of God would come alive. As I studied it this week, I just thought, you know, I look in my own life and, you know, sometimes things like praying and reading the Bible or even going to church and singing just kind of becomes, you know, we're praying. You know, sometimes as Christians, a long time, we sort of take that for granted, and it almost even can, it's in danger of sometimes becoming a ritual. But oh, how God spoke to me this week. Every single time you worship and pray, you're in the throne room. You're in the presence of God. We have access to Him. Make use of it. Don't forget how powerful this is. If there would be one here this morning who has never received Jesus as their Lord and Savior, then as I said earlier, there is a separation that exists between you and God. God is over here and you are over here. There's a gap because you're still in your sin. If you would this morning, in a true attitude of faith, in a simple prayer, invite Jesus, who is the new and living way, into your heart to be your Savior, all your sins will be washed away. You will become a child of God. You will become born again. And you will be given the delight and privilege of entering the very presence of God day by day, moment by moment. And with that certain hope that one day when the Lord comes back or we die, we'll be with Him face to face. So, Father, I pray that we would not take light this access that we've been given. And, oh, Lord, how we want to protect ourselves from letting prayer, worship, Bible reading, church becoming rote kind of stuff. Lord, we want to remember every time that we are entering your very presence and you've made it possible. We want to take advantage. Lord, even this week, I pray for anyone here this morning who belongs to you, who has
really been living a dry Christian life? Or maybe he's been leaning backwards. No, Lord, I pray this week, beginning even today, every day, that they would begin to access heaven, your presence, where there is fullness of joy, where there is strength to live each day, where there's security, where there's peace. Where there's true love, where there's true hope. And Father, I cry out for any soul here this morning who doesn't have that access of coming to you so freely as a son or daughter. You need to have Christ become your Savior right now. He's freshly slain. Would there be anyone here this morning who's never received Christ and this morning wants to draw near? Would you raise your hand high so I can see it? I want you to really firm it up this morning. You raise your hand high so I can see it. I'm far from the Lord. I want to be drawn near. I want to give my heart to Jesus this morning. God bless you right here. I see your hand. Anybody else want to join? Raise your hand. Right now, it's time for you to get saved. It's time for you to become a child. Anybody else? You raise your hand. Sister, I want to lead you in a prayer right now. You just simply say to Jesus for yourself, the living one, your Savior. Say, Jesus, be my Savior. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. I receive you by faith right now. I want to become your daughter. And I want to walk with you all the days of my life. Your sins have just been washed away. They're gone. You have access to the holy presence of God. Saints, let's all stand together and let's sing this last song together. Entering the very throne room of the Lord.
For the river reaching for what was your joy as you rose out of the grave? And all of heaven let me go, for by your death my soul was
saved. Let's all sing that.
Tell me, Lord, what was your joy as he rose out of the grave? And all of heaven let me go, for by your death my soul was saved. You are so beautiful to me. You are so beautiful to me.
Amen. God bless you guys this week. May we spend more time in His throne room.